Officials from the state of Alaska urged a U.S. Senate panel today for help in remediating wells in the National Petroleum Reserve. As APRN's Peter Granitz reports, the hearing illustrated a deep divide between a state and federal agency.
The massive reserve lies more than 200 miles north of the Arctic Circle, out of the view of many. The NPRA, as it's known in Washington speak, is home to 136 wells that the federal government, namely the U.S. Navy and U.S. Geological Survey, drilled. Just over a dozen have been sealed, some by the Bureau of Land Management and others by the North Slope Borough.
They're environmental eyesores at best and potential sources for hazardous fluid contamination at worst.
That's Kathy Forrester. She's chair of the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission and testified before the Senate Energy Committee. She's describing the varying conditions of the wells and pits, areas littered with wood, metal, and all sorts of drilling rig detritus. But it's not her agency that oversees the legacy wells. That falls under the purview and budget of the BLM. And the two agencies don't agree on exactly how many wells are left uncapped or what condition the sealed ones are actually in. The two agencies have different standards. And Forrester worries because some of the holes date back to World War II. The BLM does not have adequate data on all of the wells in the reserve.
How can they assure us that wells that they have no data for aren't a problem? That's what really worries me.
On hearing this, Senator Lisa Murkowski, who at times had to play mediator, turned to Bud Cribley, the BLM director for Alaska, for his take. Are there, in fact, wells out there the BLM knows little or nothing about?
Well, that's probably true, yes. I mean, we're everything that we have are based on wells have been drilled for a large number of years, and a lot of those a long time ago.
Cribley vowed the two agencies will work together and forge ahead towards agreements on the numbers and status of wells. But to Senator Murkowski, those promises did not appear to be enough.
Well, I appreciate your words, but I also recognize that it is literally taking an act of Congress to get the Department of Interior, to get BLM to step up to its responsibility. That ought not to be the case.
Cribley says the BLM is crafting a 3-year plan for capping 13 of the highest priority wells, and it will likely start with Ico Bay Well Number 1. He says he has to be realistic about what kind of money his agency can expect from federal coffers. It's spent more than $80 million over the past decade capping wells, including two this year near Umiat, and it will likely get less money in the future. But State Representative Charisse Millett is not satisfied with BLM's projections. She says the federal government has had decades to clean up the mess, and 13 wells over 3 years is not fast enough. To her, it shows an attitude that the federal government does not abide by the strict environmental standards it imposes on private companies. So, she says, there are options.
The administration is planning more offshore Alaska and NPRA lease sales. Let's use a portion of those revenues and plug the abandoned wells and clean up the Arctic tundra. Another option is to lease the well sites to private operators to clean up, as a lease requirement, those well sites.
Indeed, companies have told state regulators the resource potential is worth the cleanup costs. Kathy Forrester says one option is off the table. The state cannot block the federal government from holding future lease sales.
My attorneys tell me that feds trump state, and while we can find them to be in violation of our laws, we cannot find them, we cannot exert our authority over them. All we can do is embarrass them in the court of public opinion.
And that intent was clearly on display. In Washington, D.C., I'm Peter Granitz.